The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are answering your questions from ballboysnba.com. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! And he's going to ball!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Today, we are going to go through some of your questions that have been submitted via NBA.com. Sorry, BallBoysNBA.com. I wish it was through NBA.com. But through BallBoysNBA.com, all the subscribers over there get access to our exclusive Q&A podcast, which will be broadcast over to YouTube in the preseason. Once the season starts, this will likely become just a podcast format that will be exclusively available to those who have the subscription. And if you have any questions, I know people are asking me to rate their teams and all these sort of things. There's a lot of questions going on at this time of year. So unfortunately, I can't get to them all just with the limited time and resources that I have available. But if you do want a guaranteed way to get your questions answered, whether it be team specific things, general advice, tips, themes, strategy concepts, let me know over at ballboysnba.com. Become a subscriber for just $10. It'll cover you for the whole season. It'll get access to the season guide with all of my rankings on there. I'm going to be doing a rankings update today as well, with a few of the preseason notes and news coming out, a couple of position battles that I've been watching closely. So head over there. You'll also get access to a couple of articles that we've written there in terms of punting. Our field goal percentage and punt free throw percentage articles are up there as well, exclusive for subscribers. But just got a few questions that we're going to answer today. Not too many, so a nice quick little podcast here. So we'll get stuck into it. The first question here is surrounding one of my favorite players from last year's draft. In fact, he might be my favorite player from last year's draft, Evan Mobley, and his possible growth after the Donovan Mitchell trade. He wants to know what he can still do to improve this season and where I think I should go. He says there is 18, 10, 3 assists and 2 blocks with a steal way out of reach. And I would say no, it's definitely not out of reach. In fact, I might even be predicting it. I think that is definitely achievable. I think that maybe he might not get an increase in usage, but I think the efficiency can definitely improve. Like, he's still a second-year player after all, even though he shot 50%. We often see rookies go into their second year take a big jump in efficiency. So instead of shooting 50%, he could shoot 55, 56%, which would definitely improve his scoring. The free throw percentage, whilst I don't expect it to come up significantly to a positive, maybe he hits it at another 4 or 5 percentage points better, which gives him, you know, just a little bit more boost in scoring. There's definitely ways that he can improve alongside with Donovan Mitchell still there. It probably limits the, like, 1% ceiling that he could possibly get to, where, you know, maybe he was going to be potentially a 23, 10 and 4 guy this season, but now it's a little bit limited. The two blocks, I don't know, the blocks were... They were good last year, 1.7 per game. So maybe, I'm not sure if I see him getting to two blocks here, especially with Jarrett Allen fully healthy. Maybe if they stagger their minutes a little bit more. They obviously don't have Larry Markkanen there now, so perhaps they do that a little bit more and play him a bit more small ball center. Kevin Love, mix and match some of those things. So that's the only way that I see the blocks improving from last year. Typically, blocks tend to, as rookies and players get older, they go for less of those blocks and play a bit more, contains defense as opposed to just going for block shots. So that's usually the kind of a stat that I don't see improve quite as much as the other things, but I still think he's going to be doing at least a block and a half per game. And I think the steals, I definitely do think the steals can come up. So going for a bit more of those, backing himself and his defensive instincts. Last year, he was a rookie on a team that had playoff aspirations. They came out of the gate strong and surprised a lot of the teams. So you could kind of see when he was playing, he wasn't going for those reaches, wasn't going for those gambles where he might have otherwise done. And I think that having a bit more confidence in his ability now, he will be able to do that. And I just think that his instincts are very, very good, and I could definitely see him averaging a steal per game. So for me, I'm very happy and keen to take Evan Mobley inside the top 40. I think he's an excellent sort of fourth round guy to target, even at the end of the third round, especially if you're punting free throw percentage. I still think that he has a bit of upside. I know he's dealing with, I think he's done his ankle in a training camp, so he's out for a week. So I'm not letting that really affect my view on Evan Mobley. So I'm not too worried about that. He's probably going to be ready for the start of the season. If not, maybe miss one game or two. So I'm not really worried about the injury. I think he's going to be fine. Hopefully that means you can get him a bit of a discount, and the trade means you can get him at a bit of a discount. But from a lot of the drafts I've seen, he's still probably going inside the first four rounds. So no, still really like him. Still has a chance to break out, but maybe that peak ceiling has just been shaved off a little bit. But I still think he's a very, very good fantasy player, in my opinion. Let's go on to the next question here. Got another Raptors fan by the looks of it. Shout out to all the Raptors fans who are listening at the moment. Love you guys. I think you guys are a great fan base. So keep watching the video, even if you do sometimes disagree with my analysis on some of the Raptors fantasy players. Although, you know what? I like a few of their guys. In fact, I just drafted Scotty Barnes in the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Bowl. So he will be, in my team. This person is asking about Pascal Siakam. And if it's, what's my opinion on taking him in the mid-second round? It's one of his favorite players and he wants him so bad. Nine category, 14 team league. So mid-second round in a 14-teamer, you'd be looking more towards, what would that be? 14-teamers, 28. So you'd be looking around pick 20, around that kind of a range. I think it's a bit early. But it's not stupid. I don't think it's absolutely just far and away the worst player to take at that spot. I don't think there's much upside from there, but he's a safe, solid guy. What I do like about Pascal Siakam in a lot of sites, I think he's center eligible. So if you want a guy in your center position, and centers are hard to really get a nice safe guy. So if you wanted to go with and really make sure you got Pascal Siakam, I think he fits a very nice punt block slash punt field goal percentage build where he can be your center, get you lots of points, some good assists, hit a couple of threes. The free throw percentage won't kill you. So I think he's a really good center in that kind of a build. And then you can maybe grab a lot of guards in the next few rounds, starting with someone like Pascal and Tatum, or Pascal and James Harden, Pascal, Steph Curry. Those kind of a picks, I think it is fine to do so. So it's not the worst thing. I don't have him that high. I have him more towards the late 20s. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's the worst thing, especially in a 14-team league where maybe you do want a little bit more safety. But in saying that, if you do take him in that second round, I'd be very happy to try and get some more higher upside guys later in your draft, because I don't think Siakam really has upside to do any better than that. He probably won't even perform that ranking, but he does offer you some good flexibility from a position-wise in certain punt builds. So I hope that answers your question. If you love him, look, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but I personally do have some other guys a little bit further ahead. But sometimes, you know, fantasy is it's a fun way to enjoy basketball. So sometimes I just say, go get your guy. And I think that's okay. Last real quick question here, guys. Told you it'd be a nice quick podcast. Last one here is, love your work. Can you please explain the IR system in more depth, and especially how it will function in the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Bowl? Hope to see you there. In the finals, that is. Never used it before, so the basics would be good. So IR system, or IL is sometimes what it's also called, is basically just a position that is used in fantasy basketball and a lot of other sports, fantasy sports as well, I believe, where if you have a player who is injured, you can then, instead of just having them sit on your bench, you can move them into that IR position. That would then free up another roster spot on your team. So say, for example, you have 13 players, one of them gets injured, I can now move that injured player into IR, and then I can go and add someone off the waiver wire onto my team without having to drop someone. So I effectively have 14 players now, but one of them is on injured reserve, the IR spot. I can't then put him back into my starting lineup until I drop someone, however. So when he's healthy, I need to reactivate him. So I need to drop someone out of my team so that I'm back to that 13, or the maximum amount of players that you can have in your league, in order to field that player back onto your starting roster. So that's the way it works. You also have IR Plus. So a lot of sites are doing IR Plus versus IR. IR, traditionally, you have to have the injured tag to be eligible to go into that position. IR Plus is a thing that they brought in during the pandemic, so that if a player is listed as out, sometimes even game time decision or day-to-day, those kind of tags where they're not necessarily injured for a long period of time, you can still move them into that spot. So that's how that works versus a traditional IR spot. Different sites have different eligibility requirements, so just make sure you have a look up on what it is. In terms of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Bowl, I believe on Fantrax, there is a little flag there that designates a player as injured. And if the flag has like a little line through it, that means that they are injured. If you hover your cursor over that, it will tell you that the player is injured, and those players can go into the IR spot. So when we're saying that you can draft a player like Robert Williams and then put him in your IR spot, you still need to draft him. You can't draft him straight into IR and then pick someone else up off. You've got to draft him, finish off your roster, move him to IR, and then after the draft, you can then pick someone up without having to drop anyone else from your team. So it just is a way, especially in daily changes leagues, to still get the most out of your bench, because you are setting your lineups each day. You don't want to have to just hold an injured player and get zeros from them. You can at least then grab someone off the waiver wire and get a little bit of value. I would definitely recommend all leagues have at least, probably at least two IR spots. There are so many injuries and outs these days in the NBA. Three is probably even more the what I'd recommend at this stage, and probably at least one IR plus spots if your league does allow it. I think that is the best way to go, because again, some of those injuries can just really sap the fun out of fantasy basketball, and we're all about having fun fantasy basketball. So I would definitely recommend at least two, if not three, IR spots for your league if you are the commissioner and have control over that. So I hope that explanation was good enough for you there, Jason. And yeah, so guys, let me know if you have any other questions. If you want your question answered out on the podcast, remember, I'm going to be doing maybe one more of these before the start of the season. And then once the season starts, this will probably turn into just a normal audio version of the podcast that will be dropped over on the website only. It won't be coming out on YouTube, but during the preseason, I want to bring this out to everyone so that other people can get some good value out of it. But once it is the season, subscribers only will get this podcast. So head over, subscribe for $10. That's all it is for the entire season. Reminder, if you subscribe and then cancel the subscription, you won't be able to get access to all of the content on the website. So just subscribe. At the end of the season, I'm going to be canceling everyone's subscription. So don't worry about being charged again next year if you don't plan on re-signing. That's fine. I'll be canceling everyone's subscription. And if you wanted to do it again, then you can sign up again. So don't worry about that. I've had a few people message about that. Please just keep the subscription there and it will cover you for the entire season. You won't get charged again. So that will do it for us today, guys. Please give this video a big thumbs up. We've got plenty of content coming, more mock drafts coming. Our must draft players and do not draft players have dropped. Make sure you're subscribed, and I'll see you guys next time. Laters.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.